Nos vamos para la franja de Gaza porque nos atiende el director de operaciones de las Naciones Unidas de la Unidad de Refugiados. Las operaciones de ayuda de Naciones Unidas se detienen en Gaza por cuenta de la orden de evacuación israelí. Sam Rose está con nosotros. Ana, salude por favor a Sam y pregúntele qué va a pasar con la operación que estaban adelantando. ¿Cuándo se va a reanudar o ya no se va a reanudar?
Good morning, Sam. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio.
Thank you.
So let us begin by asking you about these operations that had to be stopped in Gaza. What is the plan? When will you guys be able to restart them again, or is it not going to be able to be restarted anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, yesterday, there's been a series of evacuation orders that have been a feature of this conflict since October. Yesterday evening, those evacuation orders were the part of Gaza where a number of UN international are located. I should say not for the organization UNRWA that I work for. Our premises are outside of that area. So what this evacuation order meant was that the international organizations went through what the people of Gaza have gone through on a number of occasions since October, in the sense that with a very short amount of warning time, they had to flee where they'd been living and move somewhere else, essentially flee to safety. Now, so that disrupted the operations of these organizations. For UNRWA, we continue to provide services. It's an incredibly constrained environment. Our space, physically, but also operationally, is increasingly constrained. We're facing real difficulties in bringing supplies in and getting those supplies around Gaza. But as an organization, we continue to deliver primary health services, reaching about 15,000 people a day. We continue to provide assistance and protection to hundreds of thousands of people who are living and sheltering within UNRWA schools across the Gaza Strip. But indeed, it was frightening. It was disruptive last night what has happened. The UN agencies affected had to move themselves. We had to relocate and readjust some of the offices in which they were functioning. But the basics could continue in terms of services.
Let me translate that really quickly, please.
Much more.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I need to translate. Nos dice que hay unas series de evacuaciones que han venido ordenando en la franja de Gaza. Es algo constante que se ha visto a lo largo del conflicto, que piden que evacúen ciertas zonas por, digamos, amenazas de seguridad o porque van a hacer un ataque en la zona. Entonces nos dice que afortunadamente la UNRWA ha podido seguir operando. Algunas oficinas de organizaciones internacionales se tuvieron que mover, dan una advertencia con un muy corto plazo, así que algunas de estas organizaciones se han tenido que ir a otro lado y han tenido que suspender por un momento, digamos, prudente o breve esas operaciones para reubicarse, pero nos dice que afortunadamente UNRWA ha podido seguir prestando el servicio en un ambiente bastante difícil, en un espacio físico bastante restringido. La operación se ha visto bastante restringida, pero se les ha dificultado traer suministros para llevarlos alrededor de Gaza, pero como organización continúan dando esa ayuda primaria de servicios a cientos de miles de personas cada día, esas personas que están ubicadas en campamentos alrededor de la franja de Gaza. Y pues sí, nos dice que se vio un poquito suspendido anoche. Las Naciones Unidas tuvo que reubicar ciertas oficinas, pero ya el servicio básico pudo continuar.
Sam, por el tono de su voz podemos entender su frustración, pero de todo el horror que ha visto en Gaza, ¿qué imagen no se puede quitar de la cabeza?
Of everything that you have seen in Gaza, what would you say is the image that you cannot delete from your head?
The image, I mean, it's the image I can't delete from my head. It's what you see on people's faces every day as they go about their daily life, their daily struggle to survive, and the fact that those prospects are getting worse with every day. It's everything really, from the kind of the extent and the scale of the physical destruction and the bombardment, which in terms of the scale and the pace at which it's happened is very difficult to get your head around. It's like scenes from the Second World War in terms of the extent of the devastation. But it's also the people, the human side of it, the people packed into incredibly crammed, squalid conditions, living in under plastic chutes, living amongst lakes of sewage and mountains of garbage. And all of this set alongside the Mediterranean Sea, which at times is absolutely beautiful and absolutely stunning. So it's just hard to kind of reconcile the nature of the sea with the scale of the destruction, which looks like something that is so unnatural. And it's that, and it's the faces of the people, the faces of the children who look young and old at the same time.
Pues nos dice que no puede borrarse la imagen de esas caras de las personas que están luchando día a día para sobrevivir, porque cada vez el prospecto es peor. Nos dice que las cosas se ven cada vez peor, la escala, la extensión de la destrucción física a causa de los bombardeos es algo bastante difícil de sobrellevar. Lo compara con la Segunda Guerra Mundial en cuanto a la devastación, pero también por el lado humano nos dice que las personas están viviendo en condiciones bastante precarias, con bolsas plásticas, durmiendo en bolsas plásticas, alrededor de basuras, de escombros. Nos dice que eso contrasta con el mar Mediterráneo, entonces es difícil reconciliar la naturaleza y esa belleza del océano con la destrucción que se está viendo en la Franja de Gaza. Es algo que él no consideran natural, y esa cara de las personas, tanto niños como adultos, como los mayores, pues es muy difícil para él de procesar.
Cada vez descubren a más trabajadores de su organización que hicieron parte del ataque del 7 de octubre. ¿Qué nos puede decir él sobre esto?
Every day we have seen more members from your organization that participated in the October 7th attack. What can you respond to that?
Good question. I didn't quite hear the first part.
Yes, it's been reported and it's been known that members from your organization, from the UNRWA, participated in the October 7th attack. What can you guys respond to that?
What can we respond? Allegations have been made. Allegations were made about the alleged participation of 19 UNRWA staff members out of a workforce of 13,000. We immediately condemned these reports and these allegations if proven, and the head of my organization, the Commissioner General, took the decision without any due process to remove those individuals. An investigation was then launched by the investigation body within the United Nations, which is completely independent of UNRWA, and they have recently produced their report investigating 19 individuals. As I say, for one, there was absolutely no evidence that was provided, and that individual was reinstated. For another 9 individuals, the conclusion was that the evidence was not sufficient to support those allegations. And for another 9, it was found that if the evidence may have indicated in involvement in the attacks. We have not been part to that information or the investigation. None of the evidence was shared with us, but suffice it to say that those 9 individuals, one of whom had already died, 9 individuals, 8 of whom alive, were terminated immediately.
Bueno, nos dice que las alegaciones que se han hecho señalan a 19 miembros de la UNRWA. Nos dice que condenaron, por supuesto, esas acusaciones. Se adelantó por parte de las Naciones Unidas una investigación independiente a esos miembros de la UNRWA que fueron señalados. Nos dice que se investigaron a esas personas, de algunos no se encontró ninguna evidencia, así que fueron reubicados. Nos dice que las conclusiones llegaron a que no había suficiente apoyo para sustentar esas alegaciones, y pues los otros fueron removidos, y nos dice que algunas de esas personas, de esos 9, ya murieron, y los vivos fueron removidos de sus funciones.
Quiero volver al plano de la experiencia personal de él. ¿Hasta qué punto, para alguien que tiene la experiencia de él en este trabajo, puede llegar a ser frustrante ver que nada pasa y que parece que el mundo se ha inmunizado ante el horror de lo que está pasando en Gaza y que nada cambia?
Going back to your personal experience, to what extent does it frustrate you that, you know, accusations have been made, people have said, you know, we see what's happening with Palestinians in Gaza, but nothing changes? When you're working inside this whole catastrophe, how much does it frustrate you?
I mean, it frustrates me immensely to see the suffering the people of Gaza have to go through in a completely man-made situation. I mean, half the population of Gaza is children. Half the population, obviously, are women as well. But they are subject to the most awful condition, relentless bombardments, repeated displacement, destruction of everything that they have in terms of possessions, and then the trauma, the physical injury, the death. And the fact that we are, as the United Nations and the humanitarian community, are watching this unfold, as the Palestinians of Gaza know that the world is watching this unfold on mobile phones, on iPads, on television screens, on radio across the world. The level of media attention to this conflict is immense, but it is not measured by an ability of the powers and the great powers of the world to do anything about it. So it's frustrating, and it's difficult, and it's painful on that level. Painful with our staff, 13,000 staff, many thousands coming to work every single day, working above and beyond the call of duty, who are being accused of all sorts of things when they are, you know, they are providing healthcare, providing life-saving services at immense difficulty to themselves, and frustrating in the sense that we are not able to do the bare minimum of what we need to do. I mean, we're facing a polio outbreak now in Gaza, which is a direct result of the damage to water and sanitation infrastructure over the past 10 months, the restrictions on the entry of supplies, the fact that people are displaced, the sewage in the streets, there's malnutrition, their immune systems are shot to pieces. So we're watching what is unavoidable.
Well, Mr. Rose, we are really sorry about this situation, and thank you so much for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure having you in our show. Pues nos dice ahí al final que le frustra inmensamente ver el sufrimiento de las personas en la franja de Gaza. Ve una situación bastante difícil en un lugar donde la mitad de la población son niños y mujeres también, que están viviendo en condiciones horribles por los bombardeos, por el desplazamiento, por la destrucción de absolutamente todo. Nos dice que tienen que ver cómo sus posesiones se destruyen, sufren heridas físicas, y el hecho de que las Naciones Unidas y la comunidad internacional esté mirando esto y que está sucediendo a los palestinos en Gaza, que también saben que la gente está siguiendo la situación por radio, por televisión, por el computador, por las noticias alrededor del mundo. La tensión, sí, del conflicto es inmenso, pero eso no se mide en la habilidad de poder hacer algo al respecto. El mundo no está haciendo nada, y eso es difícil y muy frustrante. Es doloroso a ese nivel ver cómo estos miembros de la UNRWA van a trabajar y los acusan de cosas y vinculaciones de las cuales cuales no tienen nada que ver cuando están prestando servicio a la salud y ayuda a las personas, así que es muy difícil para ellos y frustrante no poder hacer lo mínimo que necesitan hacer para poder ayudar en esta crisis. Nos dice que la salud se ha afectado también porque no hay agua, por la situación sanitaria que está en crisis, hay un brote de polio en este momento y eso se debe también a las restricciones de los últimos 10 meses que hemos visto.